The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Oh, isn't that good? Amen. That is super. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible, and I want you to see, I'm going to roll through these verses, and I'm going to tell you exactly where they're coming from, okay? So Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, and tonight I want to speak on how do you handle detours in your life. How do you handle detours in your life? Now, this morning, what I did is I talked about how to encourage yourself when you're alone, when it seems like that, and we used, of course, the story, if you would, please, of the time when Joshua, if you would, is coming back. He's coming back there to Ziklag. Is that right? David coming back to Ziklag. And as he comes back, of course, all the people that was there are gone as far as the wives, daughters, sons, captivity taking place. Basically, this morning I was talking to the individual that winds up standing by himself. Now, how do you encourage yourself when you feel like you're all alone and you need that personal time? Tonight, I want to do this. I want to talk to us about how do you handle detours. Detours. Not talking about all of a sudden there's something hits you broadside, but just a detour in your life. Here's what we see in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not." All right, so here's what we understand. Here Joshua now is getting ready to face. He's going to go up and face those at Ai. And here's what the Bible says. The Lord is speaking to Joshua. As we see, the Lord said unto Joshua. Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. So you have Lord speaking to a man, the man of God, leader, if you will. So God is speaking to Joshua, one man. Then you see this, Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not." All right, so here the Lord is speaking to the leader two times. By the way, God's got to get a hold of the leader before he can get a hold of the follower. He's got to help the leader first, okay? So he's coming and he's saying to Joshua, fear not. It says, fear them not, Joshua chapter 10, verse 8. Then Joshua chapter 10, verse 25, Joshua's getting a little bit stronger. And the Bible says that Joshua said unto them, fear not, okay? So first you have the Lord speaking to Joshua, fear not them. Then you see that Joshua is speaking to the men. Well, I love it when men lead, don't you? Speaking to the men, and what's happening is Joshua's saying to the men, fear not. So he's echoing what has been said to him. Then you'll see Joshua chapter 22 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak to our children, saying, we have ye to do, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel?" And so now you see this. Now you see, of course, here we go. It's the Lord speaking to Joshua, fear not. Lord speaking to Joshua, fear them not. The men picking it up, getting some courage, if you would please, from Joshua as Joshua speaks to the men, echoing what the Lord told him, fear not. And then you see that the men now are speaking to the followers. So the men now are speaking to their children, and the men are saying, I'm telling the children to fear not. All right? You'll see that fear is mentioned 400 times in the Bible. You'll see the words fear not mentioned 63 times in the Bible. That means this, probably in your lifetime, you're probably going to have more fears than fear nots. You're probably going to face more temptational times than not temptational times in different times in your life. There's probably going to be some times in your life when you struggle, you don't know what to do. Is that a normal thing? Well, according statistically to that which is mentioned in the Bible, probably so. For 375 years, there's been traced back quotes about that which is fear. In the year 1623, there was Sir Francis Bacon. He said this, "Nothing is so terrible except fear itself." 200 years later, there was the Duke of Wilmington. He said this, as he declared, "The only thing I'm afraid of is fear." Franklin D. Roosevelt, he asserted this many years after that. He said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." They say that 9 out of 10 people suffer some type of fear in their life. Some suffer the fear of insects, some the fear of heights, some the fear of deep water, some the fear of a financial burden, some the fear of aging, some the fear of living lonely. Julius Caesar, a powerful military general that was there in the Roman Empire, had a fear of thunder. Every time it would thunder, they said he would crawl under something. He had a fear of thunder. Peter the Great, he was the Tsar of Russia. He stood 6 foot, 5 inches tall, had a fear of bridges. Bridges, Mrs. Nash, can you testify? Mrs. Nash has a very big fear of bridges. And I said, "And God sent you to Dallas." Peter the Great, Tsar of Russia, 6 foot, 5 inches tall, had a fear of bridges. They say that what he would do is he would be in hot pursuit of the enemy. If the enemy crossed the bridge, he would stop, turn around, and say, "I'll let him go." He had a fear of bridges. In the 18th century, there was a British writer. He was a legend. His name was Dr. Samuel Johnson. He had a fear of stepping in the room with the wrong foot. He would take and put his left foot in, and he thought, "Oh no." He would withdraw it quickly, put his right foot in 2 times to make up for it. Fear breeds inaction. Inaction breeds a lack of experience. A lack of experience always fosters ignorance, and ignorance always breeds fear. President JFK said this. Here's what he said. He said, "There are risk and cost to every program of action. There is far less than that which is long-range risk and cost if you just choose to live a comfortable, inactive life." 60% of all fears are unwanted. 20% of all fears are focusing on the past. 10% of all fears are based on penny ante things that do not matter anyway. The remaining 10% of our fears, only 4 to 5% of them are really justifiable. 95% of the time that we spend thinking about fear is wasted time. Somebody said fear is interest paid on a debt that you may never owe. It was George S. Patton that said this. By the way, he was a very innovative general. He said this when he was instructing those, if you will, the allies of World War II. It was Patton that said this when they said, "Do you ever fear? You're a hero. Do you ever fear?" Here's what he said. "Every time I hear the whistling of a bullet, the bursting of a bomb, I'm not a hero. My palms begin to sweat. My brain goes into neutral, and I'm scared to death." Everybody has fears in their life. So how is it that you can overcome some of those detours if one of those detours is a fear? How is it that you can get around some of those things? By the way, first time I ever went out soul winning, scared to death. First time I ever preached behind a pulpit, scared to death. First time I ever counseled somebody in my life, I think I prayed longer in their presence than I did to give them counsel. I know that they thought, "Man, he's really needing help from God." First time I ever drove, never will forget it, I scared my mother to death. I'm saying that we all go through those times of fears. Let me give you some things in order to overcome fears if that is one of your detours tonight. And by the way, no matter what the detour is, even though I want to focus on this one thing, if you take what I'm telling you tonight, I don't care what your detour is. Let's say it's not fear. If you take what I'm telling you tonight and you appropriate it in your life, it'll help you to overcome problems that you're facing. Here we go. Statement number one. You face the detour and decide to overcome it. You face it. By the way, you may have a detour in your life, a fear. You may have something in your life and it's bothering you, and you think it's bothering everybody else when they could care less. Because what bothers you does not necessarily bother anybody else. All right? The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? And so the Bible teaches that fear is not from God. Person says, well, I tell you what, I'm getting up, I'm getting ready to teach a Sunday school lesson, I'm scared to death. That's not of God. That is the naturalness of man. That is the weakness of man. Well, you know, I'm getting up to get a sermon, I'm going to preach it, I'm scared. Okay, you can rest assured God can help you overcome your fears. All right, years ago, young man by the age of 22, failed in business. Age of 23, ran for the legislature and lost. Age of 24, failed in business again. Following year, he was elected to that which was the legislature. And then age of 26, his sweetheart died. Age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown. Age of 29, he's defeated as post-speaker of the House. Age of 31, he was defeated as the elector. Age of 34, he ran for Congress and lost. Age of 37, ran for Congress, finally won. 2 years later, he ran for a seat in Congress and lost again. Age of 46, he ran for the U.S. Senate and lost. Following year, he ran for the vice presidency and lost. Next, he ran for the Senate again and lost. Finally, at the age of 51, the perpetual loser by the name of Abraham Lincoln was elected President of the United States. And what did he do? He just decided, I'm just going to keep on going. I'm just going to keep on going. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I flunked. I failed. I came short. I got hurt. I quit. God can help you to get up and do it right. God can help you to be able to go forward. Somebody said that he was a great flunky. His name was Ed Gibson. By the way, Ed Gibson proved to be one of the most extraordinary astronauts in that which is our space system. But they said he was a flunky. You know what he decided? He decided he would just keep going. See, I'm saying this. What do? You face the detour. You face the fear. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's running a bus route. Maybe it's being a friend. Maybe it is taking and trying to do something great for God. Nobody believes in you. I'm saying this. It doesn't matter what the fear is. You'll never overcome the fear unless you face it. You have to face it and decide to overcome it. Statement number one. Statement number two, develop a burning desire within you to accomplish God's will. Now, may I tell you tonight, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Mr. Businessman Elite. I don't care if you own houses beyond compare. The will of God is the most important thing you could ever do in your life. You find the will of God and do the will of God. It was Harry S. Ironside that said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. People that are humble do the will of God. People that are proud do their own will. The Bible says in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, the Bible says, and he said, I will not make mention of him, nor will I speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary, it says, with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's Jeremiah's testimony. He said, man, God, I'm tired of it. I preach. They don't listen. I give it everything I've got. They're not paying attention. And so, God, I'm just kind of fed up to hear. God, I'm not going to do it no more. I'm just not going to do it no more. God, I will not preach your word. I'm done. That was Jeremiah. Jeremiah lay on his bed at night. It would burn. God would say, do it. He'd say, no. God would say, do it. He'd say, no. Finally, he had to give in, because you can't say no to God all the time without God getting you. What do? You face the detour. Fear, if it is that, decide to overcome it. What do you do? Statement number two, you develop a burning desire within you to do the will of God. It was Winston Churchill. That which was England suffered defeat over and over, setback over and over. Citizens were not contributing to the cause of the war. Winston Churchill, at age 62, stood up and led his nation. So you're never too old to accomplish something. Thomas Edison, somebody walked in and said, hey, you failed in making the light bulb 1,800 times. How do you feel, Thomas? He said, that's 1,800 different inventions. Thank you. It's the way that you face it. What do? You face the detour, whatever it is, and you decide to overcome it. What do? You develop a burning desire inside of you to accomplish the will of God. What do? You focus on things that you can control. You can't control how someone treats you, but you can control how you treat them. You can't control the way somebody responds to you, but you can control the way you respond to somebody else. You can't control how somebody loves you, but you can control how you love others. You can't control somebody else's tongue, but you can control your tongue. All right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count myself not, listen to what it says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I love the story. I read a lot of history. I'm a history buff. I like history. I like fascinating, exciting, adventurous type of stories. One of my favorite ones was Thomas Edison. When I was reading about his life story, the year was 1914. It was freezing on a December night, very unfruitful with the experiments. He retired early that night, and over in the one shed where he was working on the nickel iron alkaline battery. It was there in storage. It was a 10-year project that kept failing over and over and over again. All of a sudden, it burst into fire. I mean, it was burning the building. He was working on films next door, burnt that building down too. Many years of working on developing film. Burnt that down too. All of a sudden, the fire companies was called from 8 surrounding towns. His son was very disturbed, did not know where his dad was, thought he may have been caught up in the combustible type of kabang that took place. And so his son's running all over the place. Dad, where are you? Dad, where are you? He goes running across the backyard. He sees dad, and all of a sudden he gets dad's attention. Are you okay? Dad looks at him and says, go get your mother. Tell your mother to bring all of her friends. This is neat. She'll never see a fire like this again. He wasn't depressed. He wasn't down. He thought it was neat what God had brought down his path. After the fire had settled, 4 o'clock in the morning, after the fire had settled, all of a sudden he gathered his men and he said, we had an incredible experience tonight. Wasn't it neat? He said, by the way, later this morning, let's go home, get some rest. Later this morning, we're going to contact the Erie Railroad Company. We're going to get as many cranes down here, wrecking cranes, and we're going to put them to work. He said, we're going to clean up all the rubbish, and we're just going to begin to build bigger and better from the ruins. Somebody said, that's great. He said, well, I've got one question. We're broke. Who has any money? When somebody was interviewing him before he died, he reviewed what happened that night. He said, I remember it well. I was exhausted time the fire went out. I remember going into the house, giving my wife a kiss, yawning, going to bed in my clothes, curling up, and I slept like a baby. Hello? What do you do when trouble comes your way? It was out of his control. He had no control. Now, here's what he could have did. Could have bit his fingernails, his wife's fingernails, and his dog paw nails. But he chose not to. Here's what some people do. Man, I'm so worried. I just don't know what to do. Can I tell you, there is a God in heaven. Now, I'm saying this tonight. When you face detours in your life, decide that you're going to overcome it. You got to face it and decide you're going to overcome it. What do? You develop a burning desire to accomplish the will of God. What do? You focus on the things that you can control. Statement number next. You put some victories under your belt. Put some victories under your belt. Told about David this morning, sling, giant. Okay, victories underneath your belt. Vince Lombardi, he was an NFL legendary coach with the Green Bay Packers, said winning is a habit just like losing. He remembered some of the victories. David faced that which was Goliath, had confidence not in himself, in God. Same way he faced the lion, same way he faced the bear. Put some victories under your belt. Well, preacher, I'm discouraged about praying. I just don't know. That's when you pray again, remembering how God once time answered prayer in your life. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I can make it. Remember how you made it up to this point. Up to this point. You put some victories on your belt. Statement number next. Feed your faith daily to become stronger. Here you go. You ready? You know it well. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what do? You go to God and you put your faith in him. But God, I just don't know what I can do. Faith cometh by hearing. Okay, you get discouraged. Faith cometh by hearing. Put yourself a sermon in that spoke to your heart once. Probably it's going to speak to your heart again. When I was a young person, before I went to Bible college, I went to a youth camp. Guy preached a message, an evangelist that night, preached a message on sold out Christians. I was a public school kid, had no Christian influence at that time among my friends in my public school. I was standing alone. I was a little bit discouraged, but he preached that message on sold out Christians. Got the cassette, told about this at our Bible college, went home, listened to it, wore it out. I mean, I flat wore it out. I ordered another one. I listened to it, wore it out. I ordered another one. The guy was becoming a millionaire off of one tape that I kept ordering. I wasn't a super Christian. I needed a lot of help. By the way, those that think they're super Christians need more help than they admit. But I just kept listening to it and 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 listening to it. And it was one of those rip your hide off, pour alcohol on, and rub type of messages. I mean, it was one of these messages that you heard. Man, he said, you're not right with God if. I mean, it was one of those messages you could not run fast enough to get away from it. But my Bible says that as a righteous person, here's what you do. You hunger. and thirst after righteousness. You know what that means? That means you can never get enough. That's what it means. You can't get enough. Well, I don't understand you Christians. You Parkside Baptist Christians. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're nuts. But we're screwed on the right bolt. You know, I feel sorry for churches that shut the Sunday night church down. They do away with their Wednesday night Bible study. Shame on them. Here's what they do. They do a Bill Clinton thing. Well, the people don't want it, so therefore. Well, they're not going to want it if you shut it down. How can they have it? Can I tell you how Christianity is? Let me tell you how Christianity is. Christianity is connected to a person. There'd be no Christianity without a person. So if you know the person, you can judge Christianity by the person. Watch this. Here's how people are most of the time. Brent, are you getting this? I've never seen a Christian that lives here. Now, here's the problem. You make most of your bonehead decisions when you're here. Well, I didn't get it my way. In the name of the Lord, well, I'm going to leave the church because I got my feelings hurt. Well, then stop shopping at Walmart. Somebody pulled in your parking spot. What are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Well, you know, I don't believe 100% everything the pastor believes. You don't even believe 100% everything that you say you believe. You definitely don't believe everything your wife says. And she still puts up with you. Hello. Hey, I'm saying tonight, man, feed your faith. Look, instead of coming to church and just picking everything apart. Well, I'm going to write down how many times he mispronounces a word. Man, you're going to have a whole Bible full. I say words that are not even in existence. Where'd you get that one from, preacher? Brother Nash? Hey, you come to church and say, well, man, I tell you what, I can't believe I'm not in a perfect church. And now here's how you measure perfection. You measure it by you. Can I show you how it is for real? You ready? Here it is, for real. Here it is. A person that doesn't go soul winning will justify themselves as why they don't go. Wait, a person that does go soul winning will justify themselves of why they go. Watch. A person that has no Bible standards will justify themselves as to why they have no Bible standards. Are you ready? a person that has some or more Bible standards will justify. You know how you judge people? You judge people only on your view and not from the Bible. That's why the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Can I tell you what God thinks? Now, I'm not mad. Hey, I'm just preaching. Let me tell you what God thinks about your opinion.
Well, let me tell you what I think. This is what I think. You know, my opinion, it matters, and this is what I think.
I don't like video. Oh, we're on video. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... You ready? Here we go. You ready? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Brother Jonathan. Boy, if Brother Jonathan said it, I know Brother Jonathan, he's a righteous, outstanding, upright man of God, called by God, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And so if Brother Jonathan said it, it must be true. Oh, quit. Sinner, 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 sinner. Now, by the way, no problem. I'm just giving you an illustration. Come here. Here we go. Oh, let me see. All right, Brother Joseph. Come here. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Sinner, sinner, sinner. Center, 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 center. Okay, watch. Okay, watch. Okay. So here comes Brother Joseph, innocent as the day is long. 30 seconds out of every day. Okay, here he is. Okay. No, wait. I love him. Watch this. Okay, watch. So here comes Brother Joseph, and he says, okay, I need to know something. So he goes to an assistant pastor that knows some of something, or he goes to the pastor because he counsels, loves, helps, instructs, leads, guides, that knows more of the some. You got it? Okay, wait a minute. By the way, great assistant pastor. Right here. Auditorium is what it is today. I'm just patting the center on the head because of the center here. You still like video? All right, thanks. Thanks, Joseph. Here we go. So feed your faith daily to become strong. You got to do it daily. Yeah, by the way, it takes energy to feed your faith. It takes time. You compare feeding your faith like working out in a weight barn. As a man, or maybe getting on that that treadmill as a lady, or whatever you do. You compare it like your exercise. It takes energy, time set aside, time invested. By the way, you just did not float into church tonight. Think I'll go to church? I'm here. You had to invest energy, time, focus. You had to point your body. You had to get yourself mentally ready. Some of you drove a great distance to be in church tonight. All right, so what I'm saying is feed your faith daily to become strong. Mike Wallace used to be on 60 Minutes. for those of you that are probably 25 years of age and younger, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But Mike Wallace used to be on 60 Minutes. Love the illustration. Last one, we'll pray, have an altar call, go home. There was the what they call the Sharpa guides. They were from Naples. These were people that were mountain climbers. Once a year, they would climb Mount Everest. Mike Wallace had them on there. Mike Wallace used to question people so that there was no rock that was ever unturned. He questioned, you're going to get grilled. That's all it is to it. You go there, you're getting grilled. That was the type of investigative reporter that he was. He was good. So he began to grill this guy. He said, so you're a Sherpa climber. What does that mean? He said, well, I take guides. I take groups. I guide them every year. We go mountain climbing. He said, where do you climb? He said, Mount Everest. Then he started to oppose what this man was doing. He started to make statements like, don't you realize it's dangerous? Don't you realize that you're taking people's lives into your own hands? Don't you realize that people could easily more die on the side of the mountain than on the ground? Don't you realize that there could be an avalanche and you could die? What would happen if the rope, safety rope, would break? What would happen if the stake that's driven into the side of the mountain would come loose? What would happen if somebody went crazy? Crazy. Is that sign language for crazy? Crazy. And all of a sudden they decided to do their own thing. The Sherpa climber listened, didn't answer one question. Just sit there and listen. Then he made a statement. He said, Mr. Wallace, it's apparent to me that you have just never been to the top. I'll let it sink in. How is it that you can take and be the top in Christianity? Faith comes by hearing, no secrets. Well, I'm gonna go take a book out and read it on how to become a victorious Christian. No, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Well, I'm having marital problems. I don't know what to do. I've got to go find me a book. You already have a book. Man, I want joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got to go find me a book on how to have joy. You've already got one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How to overcome detours in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.